this episode of GeoTalk, we say thank you to a long-time Australian reviewer, we polish off some challenging New Zealand cache trails, and we visit some caches with the Anzac Spirit. All that and more on GeoTalk. Welcome to episode 97 of GeoTalk. I'm your host, Darren, from the Spin Doctors. Welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time listening, trying to get that out. By the way, don't forget we have a website online, geotalkpodcast.com, if you want to click or any of the links that we provide or we mention in the show. They will be there in our show notes. There's also information on how you can contribute to the program. You can call in on our phone number, which is just a recorded message. You can leave on 02 800 50 4 36. If you're calling from NZ, don't forget the +61 at the start. Or you can send us an email, whether you record your little segment and email it to us or just write in. It's geotalkpodcast@gmail.com. Love to hear from you and help you, help contribute to the show. So first of all, quick update about myself. I'm getting there, getting along, I'm doing well, but a big thank you to everyone who have sent messages through Twitter, through Facebook, and also through the GeoTalk email. A special mention to Daniel from the Geo Jedis, who was from Alice Springs, currently I think in Adelaide at the moment. A big thank you for your email. Certainly was great to hear from you, and thanks for sharing your story. But yeah, everything's going fine for the moment, and we'll just see how things continue in the future. Now, we just recently marked Anzac Day here in Australia and New Zealand. For our overseas listeners, Anzac stands for Australia and New Zealand Army Corps, and it's a day we mark in Australia. I think in New Zealand they call it Poppy Day, on the 25th of April. Back in 1915, that was the date that Australia and New Zealand troops, along with other Commonwealth troops from the UK and other Commonwealth countries, landed on the beach of Gallipoli in Turkey. During World War One, and unfortunately it was a battle that is remembered more for the number of people that lost their lives rather than for anything else. Both those on the Allied side, the Australians, New Zealanders and other Commonwealth countries, lost quite many thousands of troops, along with the Turks who were defending their territory, lost probably about double the number. Renee and I were actually fortunate back in 2006 to visit that area. We didn't go on Anzac Day because it's a very busy time there, and it certainly will in 2 years' time when they mark the centenary. But while we were there, we actually, along with visiting all the historic sites and hearing all the stories about what happened back in 1915, we were able to complete a virtual cache called Gallipoli Campaign. And the GC code for that is GCHAHE. It was great to be able to complete that, but also, just to, sort of take some time to remember what had occurred there nearly 100 years ago. And so while I was reminiscing about that find that we made back in Gallipoli back then, I thought I'd just check out a few other Anzac caches that are around the world. And there is one called Anzac Tribute, which is in the UK. It's a place where a lot of Australian and New Zealand troops left the UK at the end of the war. And you can check that out at GC39NFH. Then there's also another one at a small town called Sutton Veny, and this actually featured on the ABC News recently. Sutton Veny has a lot of graves of Australian troops who died after the war while they were recuperating in the UK. Many of them actually died from the Spanish flu in 1919, and even to this day, the town actually marks Anzac Day, and all the school children get involved, and I thought it was quite a touching story. I'll provide you a link to the video story that is on the Australian ABC website, but there is a cache there called Church Micro 437, and that is GC1KKQ1. And finally, although a lot of us are taught and learn about Gallipoli, probably the battle in which Australians and New Zealanders lost their most lives was at Villers-Bretonneux, which is in France on the Western Front during World War One, and there is a cache there, which if you happen to be either there on Anzac Day or just visiting to remember what happened during World War One, Australians in World War One, Villers-Bretonneux is GC234QK. If you've come across any other Anzac caches over in Europe that mark Australian and New Zealanders fighting during World War One or Two, why don't you drop us a note and let us know, and what were your thoughts and feelings on marking that geocache? Well, the countdown is on for two mega events which are occurring in our part of the world. The NZ mega event occurring in Auckland for Labor Day weekend, which is in late October 2013. If you want to, registrations are open and the cache is listed. It's GC44FC9. You can head to their website, which is www.nzmega.com, and you can also follow them on Twitter at nzmega. So make sure you get registered for that if you're intending to head to that one. And the next one in Australia will be at Murray Bridge over the Easter weekend, which is in early April of 2014, so under a year to go for that one now. And that's online at GC3X0X4, so that's GC3X0X4, and you can also head to their website mega.geocachingsa.com.au, and hopefully we'll be speaking to the organisers of both those events in the not too distant future. Now, recently I was wandering through Parramatta and decided to pull out my mobile phone the other day and just have a look at some of the Munzees that might be in the area, and I must say I was very disappointed at what I found. I think as an idea, Munzees is quite a creative and quite an intelligent extension to geocaching, or just another location-based activity. But I'm increasingly finding that Munzees, the placement of them is far from desirable. Apart from seeing them appear on just about every bit of infrastructure that might appear in any town or city, I'm also finding that some people are having a total disregard for the property itself. I encountered one the other day. It had been ripped off. And I, obviously the owner of the building, I would presume, but someone had used araldite or some sort of glue to stick the Munzee on the bottom what was essentially almost like a statue or structure, a modern structure. It was actually the street number for the building. Surely there are more intelligent and more sensitive ways in which to hide these things. I mean, certainly you could use fridge magnets and glue them to the fridge magnets and then have them attached to metal objects. And that way, if the owner of the infrastructure comes across them, they can easily remove them. But that was quite disappointing, I thought. So, if you play Munzee and you're a Munzee hider, please don't show some respect for the property in which you're placing the Munzee. If you aren't going to ask the owner of it to place it there, at least think about how you're going to place it there. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we're saying a big thank you to a longtime Australian reviewer, The Ump, also known as Ian Macarath, or Papa Bear Left, as his geocaching name is. Has, after 7 years and 34,100 published logs, decided to call it a day. Now, a big thank you to Ian, because Ian actually used to live very close to where I'm living now in the Parramatta area, and he was one of the people that helped kickstart this podcast along back in 2006 when it was first an idea. And he interviewed Clyde E., the person who put together GSAC. But, The Ump has decided that he's done enough reviewing after 7 years, and I would say that's probably seven too many, and has decided to move on and get back into geocaching. Now, in his place, someone has taken over by the name of Inspecio, or Inspectigo, who's taken over his old patch. Also helping Inspecio is Tichinal, or I think it's Tichingle or something like that, who hails from Adelaide. They'll be helping out with caches in that area. And Hersian, who'll be helping out, who happens to be very closely related to another reviewer by the name of Ministro, who's looking after the ACT and some caches here on the East Coast. So we now, along with those three, still have Riblet and also Ministro. So we have five reviewers in Australia, which certainly shows the increase in caches that have occurred in this country. Now, if you've come across this podcast for the first time, or this is the only podcast you've been listening to relating to geocaching, don't forget there is another one from the United States called Podcacher, and it's the original geocaching podcast, the one that inspired this podcast. They've been going at it now since about 2005. Sunny and Sandy, based in San Diego in the United States, put out more than 400 episodes of Podcacher. It's a weekly podcast. It's free, and you should check it out. They're also the organizers of the WWFM, which is the Worldwide Flash Mob, which we'll mention a little bit later on in the show. But also, don't forget, you can support their podcast by financially supporting them, because they put quite a lot of work into it. I'm a regular financial contributor, and I think if you enjoy the podcast and you get a lot out of it, and they do run a lot of competitions as well, then why not put your hand in your pocket and give them a one-off donation? I think it's well worth it, and we'll keep these guys going, because I think quality podcasts like theirs is worth supporting. So check that out. That's at podcacher.com. Time now to head across the ditch and catch up with some geocaching news from New Zealand. It's time for Alan, Radio Nut 50.
Yeah, hi there everybody from Radio Nut 50 in Hamilton, New Zealand, with some more caching thoughts. Quite a few geotalks ago, I mentioned the fun of doing some of the long-term geocaches out there. These are the ones that take lots of trips to finally get that prize. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we were able to organise a road trip in the South Island with a specific target, to get to the end of two long-term caches we'd started a while ago. The first, and probably pretty close to a record for cache finding duration, is called Coast to Coast, and it requires the finder to emulate a famous annual endurance race involving mountain running, kayaking and cycling. You start on the west coast of the South Island near Greymouth, and after around 300 kilometres of driving, you end up on the east coast in Christchurch, having picked up clues all along the way. We started this one in 2008 and added a couple more intermediate locations in the meantime on other trips, but only got a chance to visit the last steps and the final this month. So after 5 years of progressive hunting, we were pretty pleased to find a plastic box under a rock. This one only gets two or three finds a year, so it's a great sense of achievement to get there, and I'd certainly recommend anyone with a few years of spare time, or perhaps a bit more dedicated time in one go. It's not too difficult, you just got to have a good reason to drive from Greymouth to Christchurch, with a few spare moments to gather the information as you go, and a bit of time for some searching once you get to Christchurch. Another major achievement for the Butterfly Lady Radionut team is the South Island semi-final of the Cairns Caching Around New Zealand series. I talked about this a while back too. It's a series of coordinated individual caches, one in each of New Zealand's regions. You gain a code from each box, and after finding all the South Island, then all the North Island, you get to find semi-final caches in each island. They give you more codes, and then you get to find the national final, after caching all around our country. Well, we've been picking up regional caches during the last 6 months, and this trip looked like being able to drive past the three South Island stashes that we needed. So after a quick drive from Blenheim to Christchurch, through Nelson Lakes, Greymouth and Arthur's Pass, we did some rapid walking through the cloud in an alpine pass, and later through some horizontal rain on a hilltop pass in the Canterbury area, we held the waypoint in our hand for the South Island final. After a quick dash and some light rain, we got the prize. Now we need to focus properly on the North Island, although that's closer to home, we've still got three to find, and they're all a bit off the beaten track. One's in Gisborne, one out on Rangitoto Island near Auckland, and one way up in Northland. I'd certainly recommend this series too, to anyone able to do some travelling. You'll be in a pretty exclusive club when you get there. There've only been 8 finders of the South Island semi-final, 3 of the North Island semi-final, and after that, only 3, of course, for the New Zealand final. All of these caches have links in their web page for all the other caches in the series. So just search for a cache with the letters C-A-N-Z and you'll be able to browse through the lot of them. On that trip, Linda and I also achieved another milestone. We logged our 5,000th cache, which is a pretty pleasing step as well. Now last year, talk, I was waxing on about the ideal caching weather that we were experiencing. Our country is in the grip of a serious drought. Not so unusual for our neighbours across the Tasman Sea maybe, but not all that common over here. Well, nature's taken its course and we're into the more normal autumn season now with lots of rain around this part of the country. The effects of that drought are not entirely gone for those gaining their lifestyle from the land, but for those of us city dwellers with a hobby that takes us out into the environment, scrabbling under rocks for little boxes, this change has had a dramatic effect. It definitely takes more effort to get out there caching in cooler and wet weather, and the hit count on our hides is showing a significant reduction now. Maybe this is the time to whip around and check your hides, though, to make sure the boxes are in good condition and able to keep this winter weather out. Last month I mentioned I was interested in hearing of experiences of the new Garmin Oregon 600 series of GPS receivers. It looks as though I was getting a bit ahead of myself. There's still none of them available in this country yet. They're getting good reviews on the web from the people who've got their hands on them, so I'm seriously looking at getting one soon to replace our fairly tired Oregon 550. I did enjoy that very thorough review of the Phoenix Garmin GPS watch by Noikmaster last month. That one's pretty worth considering as well, I'd say. Okay, to some up-and-coming events. We had a really great time here on Easter with an Easter egg hunt event in Hamilton. That's a great way for families to enjoy our hobby together. Looking at our calendar at the moment, in the North Island, there are flash mob events coming up on the 4th of May in Auckland to Gisborne. They're always lots of fun. Then there's a dinner gathering in Auckland on the 6th of May. It's celebrating the organiser, Acacia Sonia 26642's graduation. And there's a breakfast gathering in Porirua near Wellington on the 19th of May. Don't forget, of course, there's the second New Zealand Mega coming up in Auckland on the 26th of October. Time to put your registration in on that if you're able to go. On the South Island, there's 2 flash mob events on the 4th of May as well. One's in Christchurch, one in Nelson. Then Keisha Jamian has called an event on the 5th of May in Oamaru to share with friends before departing from our country. And there's a GSAK training day in Christchurch coming up, listed way ahead, on the 23rd of June. Okay, everybody, that's probably enough for me at the moment. So enjoy your caching. Look forward to catching everyone again next month.
Well, thanks for that, Alan, and it was good to hear that you knocked off a few challenging geocaches over there, and hopefully, you know, one day soon I'll be able to get over there and at least finish that South Island challenge, if not anything else. Well, it's time now for the GeoTalk trivia question for this episode, and according to geocaching.com.au, Geocaching Australia, how many geocaches are there in Australia and New Zealand with the acronym ANZAC in the name? So how many geocaches are there with the term ANZAC in the name? The answer to that at the end of the podcast. Have a look at some of the events occurring around the country, and as Alan mentioned in his section, there are a number of WWFM events occurring in New Zealand and likewise in Australia. The WWFM is the Worldwide Flash Mob. It's a 15-minute event, so it's fairly quick. It doesn't take very long. It's occurring on the 4th of May, so if you get this podcast in the next few days, hopefully you will have time to find one in your area. There are a number of them in Australia, about 20 of them, and rather than go through them all, what I recommend you do instead is go to the official Geocaching WWFM website, which has been set up, and that is at gcwwfm.com, and there you can find all 547 events that are occurring in 41 countries around the world. Now, because of time zones, the ones in Australia usually happen on the 4th. They don't coincide at the exact same time as the events that are occurring in the United States. Otherwise, it'd be at about 3 a.m. in the morning or something like that. But anyway, it's a lot of fun. I've been involved in a few in the past. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to get to this one this year, but look, head out to them. And check out that website at gcwwfm.com. Now, there are a heap of events that are, besides the WWFM number 10 events occurring around the country. Also on the 4th of May is Camping on the Mid-North Coast at Diamond Head. That's occurring on the 4th. That's in New South Wales. There's the Clean Up Not Cover It CETO that's occurring near the entrance on the central coast of New South Wales. And also in New South Wales on the 4th of May is the B4B Fun near Newcastle. That's a four-wheel drive event that's occurring just south of Newcastle. And also on the 4th of May is the Rebel Victory After Party being held in Brisbane. On the 5th of May is J&J Say G'day to WA. That's being held in Mandurah. On the 11th of May is Charles Sturt is a geocacher. That's occurring in Adelaide. And also on the northern outskirts of Adelaide is Northern Chatterbox number 3. On the 12th of May, Hunt and Munch in Melbourne's eastern suburbs. On the 18th of May is Leaving on a Jet Plane. That's being held in Alexandra in Victoria. And the Pub Lunch in the Sticks at Uru. I think I pronounced that correct. Or was it Uru in South Australia? That's north of Adelaide. On the 19th of May is the Autumn Caching in the Blueies event that's being held up in the Blue Mountains in New South Wales on the 19th of May. On the 25th of May, a day out in Wetherburn, that's in central Victoria. There's two events there, one during the day and one at night. Also on the 25th is Let's Design and Plan the Duct Tape Challenge DTC number 1 that's being held in the northern suburbs of Adelaide. On the 26th of May is the 2013 Fagan Fiesta at Goulston in the northwest of Sydney in New South Wales. And also on the 26th of May, Geocaching Pancake Breakfast in the eastern suburbs of Adelaide, followed later by the 2012 South Australia Geocaching Awards being held in the centre of Adelaide. So that's all the events that are occurring around the country, quite a few of them. Check them all out. Hopefully you might bump into some geocaching friends along the way. It's time to have a look in the geocaching mailbag. And first of all, an email from Andrew, aka 2Drews. He said he's noticed in the last couple of episodes a weird stereo effect that pans from left to right during the podcast. Sounds like some early Beatles LPs from the 1960s. He says, mate, it's naff. Please stop it. You're hurting my ears. Now, apologies. I actually haven't listened to them recently, listened back to some of them. They sounded okay at the time, but it may be that I know I've had some trouble with some of the interviews that I've recorded with the audio at my end, and I've had to boost it quite a bit. So apologies to those if I'm sending your ears batty, and please let me know if it continues with this particular episode. Got another email from Mark, also known as Seabreeze Oz, over at Margaret River in WA. He emailed us last episode to let us know that they're going on a geocaching adventure around the country, and his latest update told me that they've basically emptied the house and they're getting ready to head off any day now. But he's sent me a link to a YouTube video of looking for some geocachers out in the area, mainly some Geocaching Australia ones. Check it out. It's good to see other people taking their cameras out and doing a bit of video work, and it's great to be able to see what the terrain looks like around that area out near Bunbury in Western Australia. So I'll give you a link. That's in the show notes and on the geotalkpodcast.com. It's time now to listen to some calls that have been called in. Don't forget, if you want to call in to the podcast, the phone number is 02-800-5436. So that's 800-50-436. The first one is from Grizz4B, who's hunting geocaches out on the Hay Plains of New South Wales.
Yeah, g'day, Spindock. It's Joel, also known as Grizz for B, calling on the side of the road, obviously. I'm just listening to Podcast 96. I'm really glad to hear that you're feeling well. It's a big thing to go through, that's for sure. I'm calling today to talk about an interesting milestone not a lot of people report. I just logged my 666th case. I don't think of numbers like this too often, but almost entirely by coincidence, I happen to be logging this at a place called Hell's Gates. Alex put a case here, GCVJT3, quite some years ago, and it received a lot of interesting attention by passersby. I'm really lucky to be traveling through the Hay Plains at the moment for a bit of work, and I've been really pleased to see a lot of old cases in the area. I've picked up some from 2002. I'm looking to hit, on the way back home today, a case placed by Alex in 2001 called Vision Splendid, just outside of Goolgowie, a little bit between Springs. Looking forward to having lunch there. Thanks a lot. See you soon.
Good day. Jeremy from Canberra here, also known as Nikemeister. I'm going to call through a milestone, something which I've had on my caching New Year's resolutions for, I think this is the third year running, but I'm happy to say I finished Canberra's toughest challenge, which I reckon should be called toughest challenge. That's probably a bit contentious though. Anyways, 33 terrain 4 plus caches. Oh, they're probably not all terrain 4 plus, lots of them are. Many hours in the bush, plus some in-town stuff. But only the second to find, and really only the first person who hadn't found almost all the caches when the challenge caches. So it's been a bit of an achievement, and thanks for the podcast. Bye.
Yeah, hi, GeoTalk. This is Bruce, otherwise known as Calypso62. Well, I'm out here in Central Australia, enjoying a bit of a holiday, and of course, no trip to Alice Springs is complete without coming to the famous 2 millionth cache, and that's where I'm sitting right now. It's about 7 a.m. Sunrise has just come through, and it was a glorious sunrise over the Alice, and I'm looking down now from this magnificent view into Alice Springs itself. Bit of a climb up here. Got the taxi to bring me out. He wondered where on earth I was going to. But a bit of a climb, and I had to do a little bit of searching around. It doesn't reveal itself straight away, but it's not too far away, and ground zero is pretty spot on. By the way, the GC code for this one, is, if you don't already know, is GC46N4E. So, yeah, just wanted to ring in. Not so much a milestone for me, but certainly a milestone case that I wanted to just share with everybody, that it's just exciting being out here. Beautiful country. First time I've been here, I shouldn't say that, being Australian, but first time out this neck of the woods, and it is just magnificent, and this case does not disappoint for the 2 million. So there you go. Okay, we'll catch up with you people in due course, and looking forward to hearing the next year talk. Take care. Bye-bye.
Grizz for B, checking in from the top of the first hill, east of the Hay Plains on the way home to Bathurst. The cache placed by here. Placed here by Alex. Vision splendid. Indeed, it's a great view, a little bit marred by trees, as he says, but hey, trees are beautiful too. The case is GC2F6F. This could very well be the oldest physical case that I've ever found, placed in December 2001, and it looks like it's faring quite well. I reckon more people should make it up this way. You were talking on the podcast about the event that happened in Bathurst recently as well, how to find a flagstaff. And I'm going to report that I think it went quite well, and by all reports, was a great success. There was an interesting mixture of surveyors and geocachers and historians, and there was a lot of interesting stuff going from about 200 years ago. Everyone else can get in on the action. In December of this year, commemorates the first crossing over the mountains by Surveyor Evans, all the way to Bathurst and the opening up of Bathurst. So make sure that you make it out to Bathurst for that sort of event. I hope to see you guys out this way soon. Give it a ring. A permanent case on the side of the flagstaff now, GC4507J, and it's not just your average everyday container, so I recommend having a look. It's also the first chirp case this side of Blue Mountains. Come on out, see what Bathurst has to offer. See you soon.
Well, thanks, Grizz4B, for that update, and let us know how the event went. And also congratulations on finding Vision Splendid. It's actually a cache that is on my to-do list because it is from 2001. It is a bit of a trip away from Sydney, but hopefully I'll get to do it in the not-too-distant future. Also, well done to Noikmeister from the ACT on completing that challenge. He's also, for those people who are in the Canberra area or down in southern New South Wales, set the ACT Old School Challenge, where you've got to find some of the oldest geocaches in the Australian Capital Territory before you can find that one. So check that out. I'll give you a link to that in the show notes. And also to Bruce Calypso62, a friend of mine from Sydney, on finding the 2 millionth geocache over there in Alice Springs. Certainly another geocache that is on my to-do list. Well, that's all for this episode of GeoTalk. Don't forget, if you want to contribute, you can drop us an email at geotalkpodcast@gmail.com or give us a call on 02-800-50-436. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just type in GeoTalk and you should be able to find us there. And we also occasionally post on Twitter at GeoTalk Podcast. And the answer to the GeoTalk trivia question for this episode, the question was, according to GCA, Geocaching Australia, how many geocaches in Australia and New Zealand have the acronym ANZAC in its title? The answer is 22. And the state or area or province with the most is the North Island of New Zealand with 10. Queensland and Victoria have 6 each, WA has 3, South Australia and Northern Territory 2, and New South Wales and the South Island of New Zealand have 1 each. So there you go, that's the end for this podcast. Hopefully we'll speak to you again in about a month's time. Until next time, safe geocaching.